Okay, so here's a story that makes me very happy. It's time for game news, but we're real light on the game news this week because we have no Joel.
Yeah, but we have the Xbox and the PlayStation 3 and the Wii and the graphics. And
What are those?
That's all one story, Brad.
It's great, though.
Okay.
It's 3-3-3-1.
Well, we're going to talk about my happy story before we talk about your happy story. You understand? You understand?
Yes, Kristen.
All right. It makes me happy. Firefly, one of my favorite shows, has been reborn as an MMO. Woohoo! I'm sure I'm not the only one out there in radio land or podcast land who's cheering about this. Yes, they have taken the TV show Firefly and created an MMO. Oh yeah, I might actually have to join this one. It's even an RPG.
So the show that failed on TV and as a movie can now fail as an MMO.
Yes, but did it fail just because it didn't have the watchers at the time? Doesn't mean that there isn't a huge base of fans out there.
Well,
loyal fans.
I define failure very specifically. If it costs more than it generates, it's a failure.
How do you know that it did?
Well, certainly the movie did, and the show did. Right.
But how do you know about the show? How do you know that's why it was canceled?
It was canceled because it was not getting enough viewers to attract advertisers who would pay sufficient amounts to cover the cost of production of the show.
According to?
I think it was Fox.
Right, but how do they determine that?
Okay, it's conspiracy against Josh.
No, it's not. I'm just saying, my point is simply that the way we would determine who's watching what shows is flawed.
Okay,
Nielsen ratings? Is that what we're going by now?
Well, I mean, the movies, though.
The movies is certainly more.
Do you know how much the movie made? It tanked.
It's a good movie.
I liked it.
What about DVD sales, though? Most movies make more money in DVD sales than they do box office.
Sure, but if there was this huge groundswell of Firefly support, which everyone assumed there was, I mean, even Joshua...
Joss Whedon.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Joss, yeah.
Has said it's over.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, things come to an end.
I mean, in an interview, he actually said something to the effect of, the movie was a real eye-opener because he came to realize there really isn't the big following he thought there was.
It's just very rabid.
Kind of like Mac users, right? You think there's a lot of Mac users, but there's only like 500 or
right.
something like out
that's
there.
All.
They just have really big mouths.
They just have really big mouths.
Interesting.
The thing is, with Mac users, people who buy overpriced things want to justify their dumbness by being loud about
however,
it.
So they bark a lot.
Don't worry, they don't know how to use computers well enough to understand what we're saying.
Yeah. Oh.
It's so good to have him back.
Yeah. I'm going to go cry now.
But anyway, I like the movie, and I think the MMO could be interesting, but I'm predicting it will fail.
It probably will. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to try it out, though.
Yes, good for you.
So I just think it's neat. And I think, if it's a good game, it could attract people that couldn't care less about the show. Who knows? But it is... MMOs now are a tough market. It's a tough market to get into. You know, World of Warcraft really just has a stranglehold on the market, wouldn't you say, Brad?
And Star Wars Galaxies, they were saying.
Yeah.
Star Wars Galaxies is pretty much dead at this point.
And the thing is how many MMOs can a person play?
Basically one.
Yeah, I mean.
Didn't you see South Park?
I did. I don't want to go into it again. Thank
Bathroom!
You. Stop it.
Bathroom!
Stop it.
Ah!
All right. So we have some kind of Xbox 360 versus PS3. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, there's been so... I tell you, it's a good time to be a gamer. As I was saying on Quarter to 3, I wrote a post called Bask, My Friends, Bask. Because, and that's www.quarter to3.com in the forums. Great place to hang out, though you probably can't get an account anymore. But you can still hang out
there.
Tom
said all are welcome.
Okay, well, anyway.
He said that a while ago, but he may have changed his mind again.
Yeah, but he meant that to all me, not
the plebeians.
Yeah, you. Anyway.
Try, anyway.
So, so the Xbox, it's finally here. The PlayStation 3 has come out, and they've started doing head-to-head comparisons with the Xbox 360. This show might as well be called the Sony Bashing Hour.
Yes.
Because it's not like we have anything against Sony per se. It's just that they're so dumb that they continuously do dumb things. I mean, I think since the early part of the show, since the root kit, It's just been one dumb Sony
and that
move
was
after
the early,
another.
Early yeah, one
exactly.
of our earliest
that was like
episodes.
In the pre-Derricka yeah. phase, I think.
Was it or was What's it that? The rootkit? You were on.
No, I was
for
here
the
for the rootkit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but I mean they've
there
been doing
the
dumb
advertising
things.
When they were doing the gorilla spray
yeah.
paint graffiti advertising.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember that? See,
I forgot about
How,
that.
Remember that?
Yeah. yeah.
How
right.
many holes can they shoot in their own feet? Do they have feet left?
I don't. Think
They're shooting for knees now. You know, it's just one thing after another.
They're just stubs.
Yeah,
man, do they need to have an upper level house cleaning? At Sony?
They do. They certainly do. It's really unbelievable how bad they've. I mean, everything from. So, first of all, before we get too far into the, I definitely want to make sure we talk about the Blu-ray versus HD DVD because okay. this is Christmas time.
Yes. Right.
People want to
yes.
know. I've been doing a lot of research on this, but we'll get to that in a second.
It's Blu-ray.
Anyway.
So, I just made that up.
First round of games, the Xbox 360 wins. The mm-hmm. graphics are not substantially better, but when you can really make a difference between the two, the Xbox 360 is winning. Now, the Sony fans will come out and say, well, you know, that's because the developers hadn't had enough time to get used to the PlayStation 3 graphics yet.
Right.
Well, be that as it may, so what? Because that means, as a developer, I can tell you, all you're going to get then is that maybe PlayStation 3 games a year from now might look slightly better than Xbox 360 games. That's mm-hmm. probably your best case scenario, is that if you wait a year, PlayStation 3 games might look slightly better. But the problem is that the PlayStation 3 costs a lot more than the Xbox 360. And meanwhile, everyone's buying the Wii anyway. I mean, that's the big surprise of the Christmas season, is that the Wii has gone out and is just selling a crap load of games. And
oh,
yeah.
But the Xbox 360 is still ahead in the market, isn't it?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I pointed out what the November sales were.
Yeah.
In my email.
Which I didn't print out.
Which, but the ironically, Nintendo DS beat everybody.
So. That is ironic.
Yeah, so all this talk, Nintendo DS is what wins. So it's just. Yeah,
and then the PS2 was up there.
The above, PS2 was yeah. above there. But, I mean, the Wii is not able to meet demand yet, so it's too early to say. But a lot of people are starting to think that the Wii may actually win the next generation console wars, even though it's the least powerful system, because it allows people to play video games in a more interesting way, whereas no matter how much you like the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3, it's pretty much PlayStation 2 versus Xbox with with better graphics. Mm-hmm. Not much better, just slightly better. And so it's not looking too good for the PlayStation 3, but someone could argue then, which brings us to our next topic, well, yeah, but the PlayStation 3 comes with a Blu-ray drive, right?
Right.
Does it come with it, or is it
yes.
you have to buy it?
It comes with it.
Okay. Right.
Ironically, in my mind, the PlayStation 3 did one thing that kills me. I'm not buying a PlayStation 3. I've made a decision not to buy it for one reason. It does not upscale regular DVDs to high-resolution one.
It doesn't do like the scan?
It doesn't do the up-convert to high to high def. And so, whereas any other Blu-ray player out there right now, which by any other, it's basically Samsung and...
The other one.
Is they do it.
Toshiba?
No, maybe Toshiba, but Toshiba's got the HD DVD. So let's talk about that. HD DVD versus Blu-ray. God, this is humble pie time. Luckily, I don't think I made any pronouncements anyone can throw back in my face, but I was a Blu-ray guy.
Mm.
For the last several years, when the HD DVD versus Blu-ray, I was totally on Blu-ray's side. I had no idea that Sony was going to be so galactically stupid in the way they handled Blu-ray.
Galactically stupid.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I like that.
Blu-ray, as a format, can theoretically hold more space than an HD DVD. Mm. However, that's only interesting if the space is the limiting factor, right? I mean, if I can fit everything I want on one or two DVD, if I can fit an entire full-length movie on one DVD,
yeah.
Doesn't really matter, does it?
You know, right.
And that's really what it boils down to, is that or two DVDs. If it only matters if I can do one with one DVD and it takes two with the other, then it's interesting. Mm. But that's not been the case, because Sony did not license the new codecs until at the last minute. So the early Blu-ray DVDs are transferred and encoded with MPEG-2. MPEG-2, same encoding technique as regular DVD.
Right.
It's like, duh. Well, first of all, MPEG-2 is far inferior visual quality. Mm-hmm. and it does not compress nearly as much. I mean, MPEG 2, you know, music's MP3. Mm-hmm, right? I mean, MPEG 2 is ancient.
Yeah.
Whereas the HD DVD movies are all so far, what is it called? VC1? I don't know. I always think they're basically an MPEG 4 type derivative. Mm-hmm. Much better compression. And again, www to Power Your TV. If you can remember the different codec names that are out there, but I keep thinking it's like VC1 or something.
Sounds
like
good.
That.
Sure.
Sounds sure. But it's basically what WMV is, mm-hmm. That Microsoft uses. But much better quality, much better compression, which completely more than compensates for the difference in space.
Yeah, one's
in the theoretical
50
space.
50 gig, one's 80 gig.
Well, not even that. I mean, right now they're not anywhere near their because you get into how many sides and how many
right.
There's a bunch of gobbledygook in there. But so the bottom line is that the first generation HD DVDs look significantly better than the first generation Blu-ray DVDs, even though Blu-ray costs a lot more. And getting back to the Xbox 360, I can buy a HD DVD converter, a thing that lets my Xbox 360 play HD DVDs for like, I think, what did Paul say, 129 or
something like that.
It's not that much.
Yeah.
And I mean, considering what you get, and the Xbox Live has where you can buy HD content, or at least right now rent it, right from Xbox Live. That's pretty compelling as well.
Isn't somebody making a hybrid, like a HD DVD Blu-ray hybrid, like
drive,
all in one?
Yeah, they've talked about it, but it's not right now. Ironically, I went out and I said, well, I have a 71-inch Samsung 1080p TV. Right, it's
here
a monster.
He's
and,
lying. He does not.
but I have. So if I want to buy, unfortunately, right now my options are really limited. I can buy a really the Toshiba HD one or whatever it's called, which is, I don't buy Toshiba products in the beginning with. That's a long story, but it's actually only convert. It only just does it at 1080i, which is a minuscule difference, but it's
only.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I have a 1080p. There's a lot of other technical issues with things actually getting converted to 1080i before they get sent up at 1080p. But then the Blu-ray ones, like I said, are still worse than that. So bottom line, right now HD DVD is better than Blu-ray at visual quality, and the Xbox 360, which can be made into HD DVD, is better than Blu-ray or than the PlayStation 3 in graphics. So it's, no matter how you slice it, the PlayStation 3 is inferior as a product to the Xbox 360. And I say that as someone who is expecting the PlayStation 3 to cream. The Xbox 360. Because I just don't like the idea of Microsoft taking over the game market. But the Wii, on the other hand, is really fun, and I'm definitely getting a Wii.
The Wii is just targeted to a whole different audience. Well, it's like, just sort of the casual, hey, everybody, come on over and play the Wii. You know?
I'm asking Santa for a Wii, or I'm getting my kids ask Santa.
Because Santa's not going to get you anything.
No,
Christmas.
I know, not after the incident. But. Well, look, a guy in a white beard. He looked like a hobo, right? And I didn't think, one hit and run,
he
and you're on
like
this Thunderbird. One hit and run on some old geezer with a beard, and you're on the naughty list forever.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oh. Bad.
Yeah, and sorry about Dasher. I mean,
not so quick, is he?
Yeah. Well,
he's supposed to,
Now
Dash.
It's Dancer, Brancer, Vixen. Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
All right. What's going on for Stardock for games, Brad?
Well, we're in crunch time for Galaxization's Dark Avatar.
And that's some kind of game you're making?
Yeah, it's an expansion back to Galaxizations 2, which has broken the 200,000, did a while ago, 200,000 units sold worldwide at retail.
Very cool.
Very exciting.
Very exciting, actually. That is for a little guy. Like us?
Oh yeah,
that's very exciting.
You mentioned that's multiple factors of what the first one did.
Mm.
And Stardock's first retail publishing effort of any significant scale.
Yes,
so
it's coming up in 2000.
I'm saying
our first. Yes,
right. And then Sins of a Solar Empire will be our next
in 2007. Yes,
right. But
can't wait for that one too.
But it is very, very exciting. And so I'm working on the AI for that. And
now, Dark Avatar. One thing I, you know, I feel is worth mentioning, and the reason that I mention this is because my husband works every waking moment. So, Stardock and Brad have ruined my personal life, but
you know, on so many levels.
On so many levels, but Dark Avatar is actually so much more than an expansion pack. It's practically another sequel to the game. Mm-hmm. So,
Dark Avatar actually represents what happens when it's a privately owned company, yes. Really, because exactly. No real company would be as stupid as we're being on this expansion pack.
It's like people come on the forums and go, "Hey, you know, it would be cool." And Brad goes, "You know, that would be cool. Let's put that it in."
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, GameSpot actually said that this has more features than most sequels have, and it's there really are. There is actually more new game elements in Dark Avatar than there was from Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
But it won't sell anywhere near as much because
that is depressing.
I mean, that's just in that nature of these games.
Yeah. It is a little sad, but you know, for those of you who want to try it out, we're going to have a gold edition out at retail in February as well, so you can get the game and the expansion pack all bundled up into one. Mm. So very cool.
Yeah,
and
we're not increasing the price. It's still $40.
Yeah, still $40.
Of course, you can now get Galaxizations 2 at retail for like $30. Mm-hmm. So it's on sale right now.
So if you're looking for a Christmas present, that is something to look for.
Yeah, yep. the best rated PC turn-based strategy game of 2006.
Oh yeah,
second best next to Company of Heroes, which I'm okay to be number two to Company Heroes. I love that game.
Valve for that.
Yeah. As overall strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that all for our gaming news?
That's pretty much it that's going on here.
Well, we do have one thing. One
What's
other
that?
Thing. It's a small thing, but it's a gift. It is a gift from Stardock to the world. And that's the Christmas time theme.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. Now,
we do this every year, but we do update it every year, just FYI. So if you've seen it before, this one has some new elements. If you're kind of worried about getting into skinning, or you know somebody who'd like to get into skinning, but they don't want to initially, you know, put out a bunch of money and try and figure out the software, mm-hmm. What we do every year is we have a Christmas time theme, and we bundle it all up with the software and everything. So you can apply that one theme. You can't go applying anything else, but you can apply that one theme with just a click, and you get a new visual style in a nice crisp. It even has animation.
I know. Isn't that sweet?
Animation.
The snow falling in the Star.
I know, because my husband also made that. Uh-huh. Yep. He's been doing
this for
years. So
get it for Kristen.
And it's free. It's completely free. So we're going to link that. You can get the Christmas time theme. So it's got animation in the visual style with mm-hmm. snow falling and everything and a matching wallpaper and a bunch of icons go with it, matching icons. And there's some new gadgets this year. There's like a countdown to Christmas gadget mm-hmm.
And a calendar and a clock.
And a clock, right? Very cool stuff. So
it is pretty cool. And I like you said, I mean, mm-hmm. what we do here is the installer is totally integrated. I mean, you turn it on. It's, you know, you have this nice desktop. And if you... You know, Christmas passes and you mm-hmm. want to turn it off, you press the off button, it's gone. And there's no, it doesn't mess with your system files mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. tweak your, doesn't do anything to your registry. It's just a program that's mm-hmm. integrated deeply. And it's something the newer version of the underlying technology for it has been updated substantially because mm-hmm. of a recent deal with a major, you know, PC OEM.
Yeah.
But we'll be talking about that more another time.
Indeed. Indeed, we will. But we're actually very happy about that. So we want to make sure that you guys all go out and get the Christmas time theme. And then, you know, in other news, today is, what is it, December 8th today? And we have one more show before the end of the year in 2 weeks. And that one more show is actually going to be our last show. I hate to lay it on you like that.
Or our last regularly scheduled show, anyway.
Regularly scheduled show, not just of 2006, but forever. We will be doing other shows.
We'll be doing specials.
Mm-hmm. Specials. But unfortunately, Stardock has grown to such a point that, in fact, none of us have any time left to do this show. We already put in a lot of our own free time, but there's nothing left. There's, you know, no more energy. Which is really sad, actually, for me, because I really have enjoyed doing this show a lot.
They're fun. They are fun. What most people don't realize is that it takes about an hour, a little bit more than an hour to record one of these shows.
Right.
And there's three of us. And then there's the editing.
The editing takes usually about 8 hours.
Right. Now you're talking 8 hours of time. And so if you're working, and this is on a show that really there's no profit on it. We have no, we have sponsors, which are other sites, but they're not contributing money or anything. Right. So there's no profit or it's strictly a volunteer thing. Mm-hmm. And at that point you're either, we can either Kristen or Derek or whoever can spend 8 hours or more. It's really more than 8 hours. How many hours? It's really more. Well, 8 hours is more like your ideal if everything goes smoothly. Yeah. Isn't it usually more than that?
Yeah, it took me about 8 hours last time. But yeah, it's quite often taken more than that, which is, of course, why we're not doing the video shows anymore.
The video shows were, how many hours were those?
Oh, I don't even want to talk about
it. Yeah, ooh.
Because that was like, I mean, the those first time I did that, I mean,
that
I actually stayed up
hours,
for 24 hours in a row editing the whole thing and then came into work that day tired. And, you know, anyway, but, that, you know, it's not here to complain about it. Or
no,
anything
no,
like
no.
The
only thing I'm bringing up is I don't think our listeners really, I certainly wouldn't be aware if I wasn't involved on it, how many hours are involved in actually producing one of these shows. I mean,
There's the finding the topics, and then you got to read what you're supposed to be talking about.
That's what
you need
to
know.
That's not that. I don't think it's bad. I mean, I know that some podcasts, they literally just sit by the mic. I mean, this is something we could do, is literally just record it and dump it out there. It would be, the show would be another, extra 15 minutes long, but it'd be 15 minutes of just junk that would really diminish. And I think people want to come to the show, and we have a certain expectation of, we're not willing to put out a half-assed show. I mean, if our choice is to not have something that we regularly schedule versus put out something every week that's kind of,
It has become, over the weeks, harder and harder to actually spend the time required to read the topics and things like that. So,
well, some people in the last few weeks have actually said, well, you know, the quality of the show is not as good. And it's amazing how quick, and that's only due to a relatively modest chunk of, not quite as much time as spent editing, not as much time as spent orchestrating, choreographing, so to speak, the show. And people notice it really quick. It's like, well, and still, that's, even then, there's still a lot of time. It's just not the massive amount of time as before. So you can imagine what would happen if we just, we sit down, we crank out the show, turn it in MP3 and put it up. It would sound like, I'm not going to say, but I mean, there's a lot of podcasts that do that, and people don't listen to them because there's too much noise. The signal noise ratio is too high.
Yes, exactly. So if anybody is out there needs voiceover talent, this is my my audition tape. So please feel free to give me a call.
We will be back probably in January to do a Windows Vista podcast.
Definitely. Derek, you want to add anything?
Not really. Over the course of the show, we've actually spawned kind of a spoof podcast.
Yes, that's true.
Power
that
Noobs.
True. Power Noobs. We should give a shout out to them, and hopefully they can,
go
they're
listen
probably
to them.
Gonna
what are they going to do?
They're going to learn how hard it is probably to keep up with us every week, too. But before we go, we do have one call in that I want to get to real quick. This is our old friend Matt Bosta, Meatball Man from Pennsylvania, and he has this to say.
Hey guys, it's Matt Bosta from West Pittston in Pennsylvania again. I'm calling today to ask two questions. First, I'd like to ask you guys what you think of Windows Vista now that it's gone gold. Is it worth buying at launch, or should we all wait until the first round of patches have been released? And is it worth it to get a 64-bit processor with the current version rather than the existing 32-bit? My second question is regarding a segment that you guys started a number of years back, and it really didn't take off. I was wondering if you're going to be bringing back Brad's Bits. It was quite a treat to hear Brad talk in detail about stuff he's thinking about. Good luck on all your future shows, and Paul, good luck with your knees. And Kristen, I hope your mom is doing better. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Matt, for the question. Thank you for your good wishes for my mom and for Paul's knees. I do appreciate that. I think we've already answered the question about Brad's Bits, seeing as how we're not going to be doing regularly scheduled shows anymore.
Yes, we're going to bring back Brad's Bits once.
Yes.
One time. Just for you.
Just for you. But I'm going to let Brad answer the question about whether or not it's worth buying Vista at launch and whether you should get the 64-bit as opposed to the 32-bit version.
Well, obviously, the answer is going to depend from user to user. Here's a couple of things most people don't realize. Windows XP realistically can only see 2 gigabytes of memory. So if you have a 4 gigabyte machine, then you might as well get Vista 64 as pretty much as soon as it comes out. Problem is, there's significant compatibility problems with the 64-bit versions of both XP and Vista. The 64-bit version of XP, in my opinion, is a piece of crap, so you should just avoid it. The 64-bit version of Vista right now, in my opinion, is not crap, but it's fairly crummy. For me, and when I'm using my computer, I want my stuff to work.
That's shocking.
I'm getting old, but I mean, I get pretty ticked off. I have my machine's kind of a monster. I got quad SLI to kind of give you an idea of what my machine. That's right. But
every 71 inch television.
Well,
if everybody would work harder, he could have a boat too.
Yeah, if you worked harder, I could have a boat. Anyway, the point being is that it really depends on your system. There's no point in getting a 64-bit version of Vista out the gate unless you have more than 2 gigs of memory, in my opinion. I don't think you'll notice a significant difference in performance either way. If you're happy with Windows XP, I would stick with it for the time being and let Vista get through its early teething phases. But personally, I'm moving to Vista on my primary machines pretty quickly, as long as the hardware works. Like I said, my quad SLI is not yet supported well in Vista, and so that's a big deal. But it really boils down to how you use it. I like Windows Vista a lot because it has a lot of functionality. It lets me control my system a lot better than I feel I can control it under Windows XP. Some of Stark's software is going to work better under Vista than it does under XP because Microsoft made changes to the OS. I'm not going to say... I'm not officially saying they made any changes for Stardock on purpose, okay?
Okay.
I'm just saying that our software happens to work better or will work better on Vista than it did on XP due to changes that were made in the operating system for reasons that I won't go into.
For reasons unknown. We don't know why.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that nothing I can say on record.
All right. So make of that what you will. All
right.
Is that your whole answer?
That's my whole answer.
Excellent. I hope that helps, Matt, and anybody else who had the same question. There probably were several of you out there. As for me, I'm not going to upgrade to Vista right away because I am lazy.
I am not going to upgrade to Vista on my home machine. Mm-hmm. I do have it on several of the test boxes that we use here, and I do have it dual boot along with XP.
Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on the RTM stability?
I like it. I haven't had a problem with Vista since RTM yet at all, period. And I've been in and out of it, updating it, putting stuff in, taking stuff out. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I think the overall issue that people are going to run into will be from drivers. That, especially on the video drivers, it boils down to, whenever you get Vista, go to your ATI or NVIDIA site or whoever. Immediately, the first thing you should do is to update the drivers, because I'm sure what's in the box is craptastic compared to what will be on the site. And I mean, as in... especially if you want to run a video game, good luck, because I've not had very much success playing games on Vista, especially with NVIDIA drivers, but I expect that to be solved by the time it's released.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that's our show for this week, second to last show. So everybody call in for the next show and let us know what you think of us.
Get your voice on the very last show.
Yeah, exactly. And,
no shout outs today?
Well, shout out to Gothic Fairy who got engaged. Congratulations, girl. And thanks to everybody who's always been, who've been hanging out in IRC, irc.stardock.com, /power user. We really appreciate
hanging
your
with us day in, day out.
Yeah, we
and
really appreciate it.
Commenting on powerusertv.
Yes.
Where you can make your corrections.
Yes, you can correct us on powerusertv. So thanks for listening, everyone. This podcast was brought to you by neowin.net, wincustomize.com, and quarter2three.com. You can support us by subscribing to us on iTunes, Podnova, audio.com, and podcast.yahoo.com. And look for us in 2 weeks
more time.
at www.poweruser.tv.